You have your Bible, please turn with me to 1 Peter in chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. Our women's prayer meeting is being moved to Jill Trochet's home. That'll be this Wednesday at 9 a.m. at 511 Allison Street, women's prayer meeting. I have a friend who used to do prison ministry, and he told me a story of how he was talking to an inmate one day, and he was sharing the word with him, sharing Christ with him, and this fella looked at my friend and said, "Yeah, God ain't never done nothing for me." My friend had the presence of mind, said, "Friend, sir, you don't know the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave you his one and only Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life." Lack of gratitude. When's the last time you'd say you have really felt really, really grateful? Really thankful? When's the last time that just welled up inside of your mind, inside of your heart? We had visa problems when we lived in Vienna, and the government there said, if you want to stay here for this next year, you need to take you and your family to Washington, D.C. and visit our consulate there. Visit the embassy, actually, and get your passport stamped on American soil at an Austrian embassy. Okay. Well, that's expensive, you know, to take five of us and fly over. Well, our Filipino fellowship heard about this within our church, Grace Church there in Vienna. We had a number of different groups within the church. One was a wonderful group of brothers and sisters from the Philippines. And they came to us and said, "Pastor Tom, we know this situation. We've talked it over. We want to finance that trip. We want to pay for all your airline tickets." I said, "You know, how can you can't do that, you know." "No, Pastor, no. You're our pastor. We want to do this." And they did. And then just the gratitude in my heart just welled up within me. But you know, that comes and goes, doesn't it? This feeling of thankfulness to the Lord, what he has done. Well, 1 Peter, in chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 3 to 12. And we're looking at this theme of blessing the Lord. Do we really bless the Lord? And if you look with me in verse 3, Peter starts in many ways just singing. He just introduced, he's writing this letter to these who are exiles, they're sojourners, they're aliens, but they're also the chosen of the Lord. He unpacks what the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have done for them. And look at verse 3 that says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." Learning how to use my cell phone here. So let me just talk with you about three things here. Number one, do you bless the Lord? Do you bless the Lord for your new birth? For your new birth. I'm thinking, Josh, we're going to need to probably do this manually. I'm having some difficulties here. Thank you. Those blessings that we're thankful for, maybe why they're sort of elusive, is because they aren't at the core material blessings. They're spiritual. Peter says we bless the Lord because he's caused us to what? To be born again. That's a spiritual transformation. The Spirit of God coming to live within every believing heart. It's an absolute transformation, but it's spiritual. Spiritual. 2 weeks ago, we were looking at those first few verses, weren't we? And the theme there was all about election, and that causes some of us to go, whoa, I can hardly wrap my mind around the concept of God choosing us, choosing his own. And I actually was having a conversation with one of our sisters here afterwards, and she had some really good questions about it. And she relayed to me a story that I thought really, really shows the picture of the kingdom of God and how it transforms us. Because you see, the kingdom of God is the unseen world of spiritual reality. We live so much of our life just by what we see, what we all around us. We don't seem to, you know, think and get drawn into that spiritual realm. Well, her daughter had throat cancer and was really, honestly, dying. And a beautiful sister, a nurse, came in and asked her, "Are you ready to go to heaven? Are you going to heaven? Are you sure you're going to heaven?" And this daughter said, couldn't talk, so she wrote it out, "I'm not sure." And so she said, "But would you like to be sure?" And just this nurse just beautifully shared a simple message of the gospel to this gal who was dying. And then mom came in a little while later. And she wrote on her paper, "My nurse knows the Lord. And now I do too." Giving her heart to Christ, born from above, the kingdom of God entering into her heart and to her life. It's spiritual. And it causes us to worship and bless the Lord, to thank him for all he's done. I mean, maybe you came this morning and possibly last week, you're into a funk, you know, and you're kind of down, or you're kind of under it a little bit. Well, look what the Lord is really saying to us here this morning. He's caused us to be born again. And it happened because of his mercy. He so mercifully brought us into the kingdom. And it's through Jesus Christ, through his resurrection. He rose from the dead. And so we have this living hope. And this living hope is this in this inheritance that we have in heaven. That the new birth is really the beginning of this forever relationship with the Lord where we inherit heaven. And if we even wonder, well, I wonder if I'll not maybe make it or not. We're guarded. We're protected. You see that in verse 5? We're guarded by the power of God. As by our faith, we're guarded for this salvation to be revealed when Jesus Christ returns. You know, we as human beings, we come up with so many different ways to figure out how to experience salvation. How to experience salvation. But the Lord has only one way. There is only one way. And that way is to experience new life, new birth. That is absolutely crucial, critical for all of us. That you know that you know that you have a relationship with the Lord. You've experienced new birth. There was a knock on the door. Come on in. Hello, Nicodemus. Oh, Rabbi. At the seminary, we're really impressed with you. You know, we know that you are a teacher that's come from God. No one could do what you're doing. No one could do these miracles, said Nicodemus to Jesus, unless God were with him. Well, let me tell you what, Nicodemus. I'm going to look you right in the eye. Sir, unless you were born again, you will never, ever see the kingdom of God. What are you talking about? I'm an older man. You expect me to get crazy, crawl back in my mother's womb? No. You need to be born of the Spirit. It's where the wind is blowing, the wind of God's Spirit blowing into your soul, giving you new life. Nicodemus, think with me. Think back to the Old Testament. You know these stories. Just as that snake was lifted up in the wilderness when God's people were bitten by snakes, poison coming into their bloodstream, and they looked to that bronze snake. As they looked, they lived. That's the new birth, Nicodemus. As you look to the cross, and Nicodemus, I'm the Son of Man. And Nicodemus, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die on the cross. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. The new birth, it's absolutely essential. And Nicodemus, he was the guy. He sat in the big chair in the seminary. But he didn't know new life. His head was full of knowledge, but he didn't experience a new birth. Why do we even talk like this? Why do we even need a new birth? Come on, Tom. Yeah, look, this is 2020. Come on, get with the times here. I used to work at La Crosse Lutheran Hospital. I was an autopsy assistant. And in our autopsy room, we actually had a cadaver. We had this silver, looked like a, well, it was big enough for a body anyway. We called him Morty, you know, and there he was. Now, wouldn't that be really, really weird one day if we're working on doing an autopsy and old Morty sits up and goes, hello. Well, hello. Well, good morning, sunshine. You know, that would be a surprise, wouldn't it? Why? Because Morty was dead. And the scriptures are saying this. Not only do you and I need forgiveness of all our sins, we need, there needs to be a birth inside of us. We need to be born from above. And that's what Peter is saying. We bless the Lord. Man, life is going this way and that way, but one thing I know is that I have experienced new birth, new life. I know of a young lady just this last week, actually, gave part of her liver to help give life to a little child that was dying. And it was a beautiful act of selflessness. And this is where evangelicals part ways with all those who want to do those things that make that earn their way to heaven. So you could do any kind of heroic act, and it's a wonderful thing, but it doesn't bring new life. Unless the Lord breathes into your heart and into your soul new life, no, nothing happens. So how does this happen? Well, if you see, verse 3 says, we've been born again. But if you drop down to verse 23, he says it again. In verse 3, he said, we've been born again by the mercy of God. But in verse 23, we read that we've been born again by the word of God. You see that? And that word is imperishable. Peter crawls back to Isaiah chapter 40, and he quotes, all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass. Grass withers, flower falls.
But the word of the Lord remains forever. Now look at verse 25. And this is the word of the good news that was preached to you. So, you know, you're wondering, you listen to this, you listen to me even today, am I born again? I don't know. I don't really know for sure. It has to do with the gospel. Now let your eyes look one more place. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. The verse we've been praying over this morning. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. When you, friend, hear the story and the message of the cross, and you see yourself as someone who needs a work of God in your heart and life, the Lord blows into your heart and life. You can't born again yourself. The Lord causes this to happen. And this is the thing that kicks off this book. He's blessing the Lord for this new birth. Do you bless the Lord? Have you really, truly responded to the good news? He bore your sins in his body on the tree. You bless the Lord for the new birth? Secondly, do you bless the Lord for the grief of various trials? Trials. Look at verse 6. In this you rejoice, that salvation, ready to be revealed. Though for now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. Can't even put words to it. And filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Was this your experience when you became a Christian? You received new life, you're born from above, you're born of the Spirit, and then you lived happily ever after. Is that how it was for you or is for you? You're living happily ever after? Peter says that not only have we have been born again, but we go through trials that are grievous, suffering. They wear you down, emotionally draining. The New American says distressed, stressed out. The new birth does not mean you will never experience trials. In fact, it brings you right on into them. Notice Peter uses the word various trials. It's only used at one other place in his letter, and it's in chapter 4, verse 10, where he talks about God's grace is various, meaning multicolored. The grace of God is multicolored. And so are your trials, and so are mine. Various trials. They could be financial. Some of you are really struggling financially. Could be work-related. You don't even want to go to work tomorrow. It's such a trial. Maybe it's health related. Just gnaws at you. Your health, just not where you want it to be. Unexpected tragedies. So tough. You hear every week, we're listening, some little child somewhere is experiencing some tragedy at some level. Aren't they? Some of us, some suffer in their marriage. Some suffer with children and really difficult relationships at home. Abuse. That is a form of suffering. Sexual abuse. Verbal abuse is a form of suffering. Even our own country, sometimes it feels like this United States of America is being ripped in half, doesn't it? We hear about the coronavirus that causes stress. But we want to have sort of the Cinderella perspective, don't we? No, yes, we have an evil stepsister, a stepmother, yes. Yes, and we're locked away. But we're hoping against hope that our, you know, the good fairy godmother will come along, cut us some slack, give us a break. We just honestly, not asking for much out of life, we just want to live happily ever after. So what does Peter say to all that? You have to look real closely here because you're going to see something that is actually very surprising. Because he describes it in a new way. Verse 6 says, you're being grieved by various trials. And look what he does here. He doesn't say, and that's bad luck. Sorry about that. That's tough. No, he calls those various trials, what does he call them? He calls them a testing of your faith. That's what the trial is. The trial, from a Christian perspective, is actually a test of your faith to see whether it is genuine or not, to prove genuine, verse 7. Because your faith, believe it or not, is actually more precious than all your assets. It's more precious than gold. The faith that you have is the most precious possession that you have. And the Lord allows trials to test you. But the end result is this. It brings praise and honor and glory when Jesus is revealed. So this is what dawned on me. Our faith is not actually about us. If your faith is turned inward, if you're wondering all about, do I have enough faith? Where's my faith? It's actually not about you or me. It's actually, where is it in? Is it in the Lord? So you get a little quiz in verse 8 and 9. And the quiz could go something like this. Have you ever seen Jesus? And the answer is no, I haven't. He brings it up again. Have you seen him now? No, I haven't. Well, what is your faith? I love him. I believe in him. I rejoice in him beyond words. Verse 22, verse 21, I'm putting all my hope and faith in him. Yes, I've experienced this new birth. I just bless the Lord for that. It gives me the security of a home in heaven. I'm going through some trials, though. They're tough. They're testing my faith. And this is my faith. Even though this is a very tough sledding situation for me, I love the Lord. I believe in him. I just rejoice with beyond words. I don't have any words even to say. It's inexpressible for me. That's the Bible way to handle grief. It's not bad luck. Hope things turn around. But you meet the Lord in it. You see what faith is all about in verse 9? It's the salvation of your soul. Your soul. See, when the Bible talks about salvation, it talks about it in three different tenses, past and present and future. We have been saved, and we are being saved. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, the focus of salvation, every time he mentions it, it's future. It's a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. One day we will be fully saved. So that's why in your trial you can sing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich, so free. That's a way different way to look at suffering. The world tomorrow is not going to say, hey, you've been born again, awesome. And hey, you're going through some trials, but that's good because it's really a testing of your faith. But that's what God's word is saying. Which leads us to the last thing, and a really important dimension here, and that's verses 10 to 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Now you want to put your thinking caps on for about 5 minutes here. There's some really, really good truth here for all of us. There's really two main people who write Holy Scripture right in these verses, the prophets and the apostles. It's the prophets of the Old Testament wrote it down. It's the apostles who originally proclaimed it. That's what these verses are talking about. And notice they only have one theme, and that theme is salvation. The theme is salvation. That's what they always talk about. Verse 5, a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Verse 9, the salvation of your souls. Verse 10, concerning salvation. But if you notice, please, this is very important. The real author here is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in that prophet, enabling him to write, and the same Holy Spirit is in that apostle, enabling him to preach. There is a lot of depth here. But the thing about salvation is that it's all future here. Verse 5, it's ready to be revealed. Verse 7, it is at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 9 is a future salvation of your souls. Verse 13, look at that one. Set your hope fully in the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But the thing that the Lord showed me here is everything I just shared with you, which is wonderful depth of theology, really. The most precious jewel is this. This grace to be given is yours. When old Isaiah was writing his prophecy, it was for you. And when Peter announced, he announced it to you. And the good news preached is to you. See, it's great to know we have a new birth. It's great to know that we are destined for heaven. It's wonderful that our sufferings bring about the testing of our faith, which becomes like pure gold. But what's the point of all this? It's that the Bible makes us sure. So, Jim Jones, when Isaiah was writing, and he says, Lord, what tell me? That's for Jim. Isaiah was serving you. And Joshi, when Jeremiah wrote his book, it was for you. It was for you. It was for all of us. That's what that's saying. Isn't that tremendous? I mean, you could say, yeah, Tom, that's your opinion about new birth, blah, blah, blah. And that's your opinion about, oh, the sufferings bring us into pure gold. Listen, if you think this is about a sermon, you've missed it. This is what the Word of God is saying. This is what Isaiah is saying. This is what Jeremiah is saying. I was thinking about one of our saints who passed on. I want you to think about her for just a moment. Doris Frazier. Love that lady. I knew her son very well. We were very good friends up in the Twin Cities. It was an honor to be her pastor for a short time here. But think about her life. When she came into this world, what did she know about God, about His Son, about the Holy Spirit, about salvation, about the Scriptures? Nothing. Everyone comes into this planet with a clean slate. We have to learn it all. And the goal, and she found this goal, is to meet the Savior, to grow, to know Him, and slowly become like Him. Be ready to meet Him. And she did. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Apart from a body, Doris Frazier is at home with the Lord. She spent, I believe, close to 90 years here. I think she even got into her 90s. Long life. Starting at birth to death, and she could enter the presence of the Lord. Now, why am I telling you this? Why am I telling you this? Because that is the church's sole job, is to help people from birth to death to be ready to meet the Lord. This is what Peter, this is what, listen to old J.B. Phillips in his translation of 2 Timothy 3:17. Because what I want to say to you is that we only have one tool. We got a toolbox, but there's only one real tool that we have. It's the Word of God. That's all. That's all we got to help Doris go from birth to death to eternal life. That's way more than enough. Look at J.B. Phillips says, 2 Timothy 3:17, the Scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God, and they fit him fully for all branches of his work. The Scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and fit him fully for all branches of his work. See, almost everything, not everything, but almost everything we do here at First Free Church, First Evangelical Free Church, you're going to find a Bible at the meeting. You're going to find it in the pulpit. You're going to find it next at Sunday school. You're going to find it in men's groups, women's groups, together groups, junior high, senior high, Amplify, pastor's offices. When people come see Pastor Tim, when they come see me, the Bible gets open. We always do that at our elder meetings, all meetings. Happens all throughout the city, happens at McDonald's, happens overseas. Our friend Doug is going to Egypt. That Bible is going to get open. He's going to take his Bible with him. They go to Latvia, the North. Did you hear what she said? I open the Bible with these people. See, it's only through the Bible. That's why verses 10, 11, and 12 are so important. It's only through the Bible that we get instruction about the new birth. Otherwise, we're just making it up. We're not making anything up. This has come from the Lord. It's His Word. It's instruction about suffering. And really what understanding what suffering is all about is a testing of our faith. It instructs us on who Jesus really is. We've not seen Him. Then why would you love Him? Because Jesus loves me, this I know, for what? That's it. Bible tells me so. So what are you blessing the Lord for today, friend? What are you blessing the Lord for? Bless Him for your new birth. You've been born again. You bless Him for those trials that actually are working for the salvation of your soul. Sanctification. You bless Him for your Bible, because it's the prophets who wrote to you. They weren't serving themselves. They were serving you, Larry Gustafson. They were serving you, Cheryl Williams. Isn't that beautiful? Let's pray. Lord, thank You that Your Word tells us how we can have a relationship with You, be born from above, and have an inheritance in heaven. Lord, we maybe make it absolutely certain that we know you, that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. We pray this, Father, in your name. Amen.